from the city and.
Thank you very much.
Appreciate it.
I don't see any other cards up here. I see one.
All right, so.
No card?
No public.
Mr. Downs, would you approach the podium and just give us a.
I'm not going to do that.
Quick, Roger, give your report.
Would you like to give us a quick synopsis of the four of the trips?
That's too long ago.
What's the long time?
Okay.
Reports by board members. Does anyone have a report? Other than myself to share.
I'd like to mention one thing. One thing last night's hearing that we didn't give direction to staff on was the issue about the increased attachment four areas. Staff is proposing increased area four application for areas that discharge to that. Can we give direction to staff?
No, because the item was closed. It was noticed yesterday. Okay.
Thank you.
So I'll say that I'm in favor of that.
You can call Roger and talk to him.
Okay. Anyone else other than myself? I was in the chair's meeting, as you know. Some other things I wanted to share with you had to do with the CPR status of CPR, which apparently now is kind of dead for this year, but maybe coming back. Oh, CPR. California's reform review, it was a, if you call it an initiative, a program of the administration to revamp all the orders. And intend to make them back this year. Turn our regional board to the more of the administrative bodies. Consolidate a lot of the decision-making power just in the UOs and then Sacramento. It really limited the public involvement in the regions.
Weren't they going to have like a 10-member panel for the state or something?
There was going to be an 11-member full-time, 11-member panel. And this was discussed at the chair's meeting. 11 members, a full-time chair, and the 9 regional chairs would make up 9 of those 11 slots. And they would be paid 1/3 time to participate. Plus, they would still be what were going to be called regional watershed councils. Okay. And so there would be a water board for watershed issues and still be
groundwater cleanup would have gone to the department.
And
formerly known as ETSC.
Yeah, looking a lot like Department of Public Services.
And I guess what this new board, there were the functions, they would be issued appointments. They would have been reinforcing. So basically, what would have been left in the region, I think, probably the PNDLs and the basin plans.
Emphasis on that. Well, I gather the executive office would be issuing appointments.
Right.
So they would be firing the executive office.
There we
go. You will be firing the executive officers.
Well, hiring is hiring.
The executive officers would report to Les and the state board.
Executive director.
Who would also have hiring and firing, sole hiring.
So, they would report to. So that is is off the table for now, but hopefully they come back. And then there was some, we talked about enroll legislation and then legislation that is currently been put into the session. And you have a couple pending. Well, how about the poison?
Like I said, it's two bills for agriculture.
Yeah, I know. Tell us a little bit about the, those are pending.
Right.
Pending, what do you mean pending?
They, well, they proposed.
So, so they haven't got through the legislative process.
No. Okay.
Through, I think, some of the initial committee.
Right.
And,
okay.
And then there's the word. One bill has to do with the, or for our area in particular, just Central Coast region. It's not for statewide application, but just the Central Coast region's regulation of agriculture. And it would basically provide sort of a low threat category for, and would exempt the lowest threat irrigated ag operations from the program. And so it says that, I think one of the problematic things about it is it says that we would define the best management practices and establish this list and certify that farmer John is using those using those best management practices, and therefore they're exempt from any requirements and wouldn't have to pay for monitoring, for example, wouldn't have to pay for fees.
That would be
pretty close.
I remember not having to pay for monitoring and fees, but the original bill said that we could not require monitoring more frequently than every other year for low threat discharges. And then they gutted that and proposed something directing our region to do a pilot program where in 5 years we develop a set of model BMPs, and any operation that was doing those BMPs, it's not in the legislation, but I met with Blake and one of the staffers, and the way they explained it is that if they do this program that we developed, then that's all they have to do. And I tried to explain that the farms were so different that there wasn't a menu of BMPs that would work everywhere, and they said, well, just do one for every kind of farm. And I tried to explain that because of Section 13 through 60, we can't mandate the method of compliance, and they wrote down the site and promised to look into it. And, well, the third problem was, this is a huge undertaking. I mean, this is basically what each operation is doing on its own farm that we're giving them years to do, and they wanted us to do this whole program for everyone in 5 years, but they're not going to fund it. And so we asked about that, and the response was that it would be a good thing to work with the stakeholders in the environmental community and see if the Sierra Club would be okay for it. And at that point, the person from the state board was mentally kicking me under the table from across the room. I don't know what the governor's position on that's going to be. The way it's written is fairly innocuous. It says do this pilot program and develop these BMPs. But the way Lakes' office was explaining it is different.
What was that?
Maybe
12-7. I think it is 12-7.
I checked in the last week or so, that's possible. And some, to its credit,
some of the places they did call us over to the office. That's Karen Worcester and Allison Jones and I went over to his office to brief him on the agricultural regulation. And unfortunately, and put it two of the dates, one in person who was kind of spiriting this, I gather, from the conversation. And then Mark Smith, I think it is, from his aide, Sacramento. And we ended up actually briefing the aides more than some of them, Blakesley, mostly because he had a family health crisis going on at the same time, so he was in that one. So it was very unfortunate. I don't think we got our message across to him. but I've been, they went ahead and came out with this. And then, as Laurie said, we had another conversation with the after we got that.
And with some new places.
Okay, with Plexi also. So, I have there was a poll. Subject to a conditional waiver for irrigated ag discharges to monitor those discharges more than once every 2 years if that regional board makes it a specified determination.
Yeah, that was the original version of the bill, and that was already superseded.
Oh, okay. So,
the money would go twice as far.
The money would what?
The money would go twice as far if we had to do it half as often.
That's true. That's true. And speaking of the monitoring, back to the second bill, speaking of the monitoring, we are getting that data that's coming in from the first quarter, and as we go through quality assurance, quality control, and all that good stuff, and I guess it's coming in hard copy for some reason. So we need to transfer it, and it's going to be done electronically, but initially it just came in. And then we plan to provide some summaries of that for you at the July 14th. So Karen works with our staff, and Allison Jones will come down now, and Dave Perry. The second bill that you asked about, another legacy bill, is one that has to do with regional board membership and conflict of interest. And what it would do is It would allow, say, a person such as John Hayashi in the irrigated ag position to vote on matters that involve irrigated agriculture if it's an issue that's of region-wide significance, and it would still preserve the financial conflict protection so that, you know, he would be able to vote on waste discharge requirements for his property, but for something like the regulation of ag, then he could participate. And same thing for any other category.
So, how is that different from now? Conflict of interest is based on economic change or not change.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the FPPC economic interest rules. The FPPC economic interest rules are incorporated into 15.07 of the water code. So those rules would be unaffected, but there's a separate provision for the law that says that a board member can't vote on any permitting or waiver or TMD option that would directly involve the board member. So, for example, a farmer couldn't vote on a regional ag waiver if the farmer was subject to the ag waiver.
All right. Okay.
And which basically means that in all the regions, none of the irrigated ag board members can participate in the ag waiver matters. If we were to take an enforcement action for violations of the ag waiver that didn't involve a board members from the facilities, that board would participate. It's just things like adopting that ag waiver, revising it, revising the law.
Makes sense, because it could economically gain from the decision.
Because they're subject.
So you guys I could be exempted from the waiver program based on my BMP, so that I could immediately vote.
Yeah, or
no, well, I'm just in the interest of time.
Maybe the 1271 then it turned into a 2 year bill. But it's just gonna serve it.
Sure. Preservation Board is the ag industry nonprofit that was set up to run the monitoring program and coordinate the compliance of the ag. I forget the full name. Central Coast Water Quality Preservation Team.
Yeah. Okay.
So, UCW.
Something sex.
Preservation.
SB 646 was the CUEL bill, the committee chair bill, and it's
that's been taken care of.
Now,
I think they're going to exempt, they put language in there to exempt the waivers.
Is that the one that says you can't adopt the waiver for discharges in the community?
Yes.
It was amended a couple weeks ago and it took out that provision. There's some provisions that were left, and I can't recall off the top of my head what they are, but it eliminated the provision of waivers.
Okay. And then SB 729, home call. It is already 2 years old. It was referred to as the Richard Paz. Require the State Water Board to meet every month. We require at least one of the State Water Board members attend each regional board meeting.
Pretty strict.
Yeah. Okay, meaning.
Yeah, not like it.
Yeah.
Reduce regional water board membership to 5 members. Require regional water board to submit their budgets to the legislature. Require the regional water boards to consult the State Water Board executive director making regional appointments, and allow regional boards to delegate to DOs the adoption of minor NPDES permits and WDRs. And specify public participation requirements for the water boards. Require the State Water Board to define best available technology and maximum extent practical. All pollutants found in stormwater discharges.
Oh.
And include those technology-based numeric effluent limits and stormwater permits, and specify how cleanup and abatement account funds are being allocated among regional boards. So that's
simple.
Low and fall, that's SB 729. And then there's others here. I don't know if you guys like a copy of this. Well, okay. And then the budget issue. I thought what was interesting, we talked about the fees from the ag waiver permits. Okay, so here's what numbers they gave to us. They're expecting to collect $1.9 million, a base fee of $100 per permit, per waiver, plus 12 cents per acre if the farm is in a coalition, 20 cents an acre if the farm is in a non-coalition but some other entity, I'm not quite, I don't remember what it was, and then 30 cents an acre if it's an individual permit. They think they'll be lucky to get 50% of that. And I said, so are we going to be seeing any money from that? And he said, oh no, you've already been allocated that money with
the PY.
Yeah. It really makes no change in the way, you know, we function and operate. Separately, there's 175 vacancies within the state and regional water boards. 50 with the state board itself, 125 in the regions, and I'm not going to explain this one right here, but this is interesting that we need to maintain 80 vacancies so that we can fully fund our new position. Something like that.
It's called salary savings.
Salary savings, that's it.
Got a few hours to explain it.
So you kind of like to float, though? I mean, you pay for the funded positions by having some of them empty while you're coming in?
Yeah, it takes into account the fact that people do come and go, and it takes a while for the patients to know. In a nutshell, the idea is that overall, even if you attempt to stay completely staffed up, the best you can do is 95% statewide, and so they instituted a 5% salary saving and just crank that into the budget. So therefore, if we go over 95% expenditures, we're overshooting the mark.
This is what you learned in the first time.
It is.
Bureaucracy.
Yeah, the bureaucracy.
Formula. It's called the formula.
Let's see what else about shooting around budget highlights. Next budget coming up. A general fund reduction of $454,000 for PBO contracts next week, obviously.
Stay
all the reasons.
Stay away,
yeah. An increase of $1 million in federal authority to identify the source of the pollutants that currently exist in some of the state's water bodies. Additional $1.6 million to remediate contaminated ground field sites and turn them to productive use. Additional $164.7 million in local assistance into other entities from Props 1513 to improve water quality. And it looks like some additional monies for the repair and replacement of underground storage tanks program plus into underground storage tank cleanup fund and money related to water rights.
On the grounds field issue, there's a lot of subtext there with California Performance Review, who should be doing groundwork cleanups and that sort of thing. Criticism of, that was actually focused in the San Francisco Bay region cleanup site. You know, problems between regional board and Department of Substances Control. But we, all the regions signed, and the state board signed a memorandum agreement with the Department of Toxic Substance Control on regulation of brownfields. And I think I sent a copy of that to you a couple months ago. It's pretty dry, but it basically just says we will play well together. We will avoid overlaps and coordinating, which we're going to try to do anyway, but it's memorializing it. And the renewed effort or emphasis on the part of the administration on brownfields, which gets back to the governor wanting, you know, California's economic engine to be as wrapped up as possible, that there are problems with brownfields stymieing economic redevelopment. However, that dollar amount here, which you mentioned in terms of dollars for brownfields, but I think as far as how that trickled down, $1.6 million, how that trickled down to our region, is it 0.2 gigawatts? I think it was 0.2, but we're slated to do it. Yeah, so we will rev up California's economic engine. Is that 0.2 gigawatts?
Actually, I knew it cost me now. We didn't get any. 2, 5, and 4.
Oh, our 0.2 disappeared?
We asked for some, but they didn't lose.
Okay.
If the underground tank, with the MPV and the underground, are we still contracting with San Bernardino?
Yes, we still have two local oversight programs for underground cleanups, and that's Santa Barbara County and Santa Barbara Water District, although that's transitioning over to Santa Barbara County.
So,
the two areas.
Where are we getting the information? Is the information that we're getting from Santa Barbara County?
Yeah, I know that was an issue that was before the board when you left us last.
Yeah, I was under the impression that we were going to dump them and take it back.
Well, it's gone better. We've had a lot of meetings with the regional board where San Diego County attended, and I think we've done a lot better as far as cleaning up the database and making sure that they're monitoring the high priority sites are going to be monitoring.
Yeah, because regardless of what program they use, it should take this advantage of this computer mind 15 or 20 minutes to write a program and they won't talk to them.
Anyway, things are going better with Santa Barbara County. That was in the write-up, I believe, for the enforcement report. And I think so.
It was.
At the table, so you know the sheriff what they're doing is taking from the regions to fund 3.3 positions. 3.3 PYs at the state board to oversee what we do.
And then tell us we're not doing anything. That keep taking the people.
Yeah.
Well, they told us to do more.
Yeah.
So if they do that, take positions.
Right. Interesting. But I don't think that really was the state board's idea. I thought this was interesting. Maybe we should have it distributed. It was more of a follow-up on enforcement initiatives.
I think that's in the back of our enforcement plan. Isn't that in the back of our team?
Enforcement scripts,
We have Dr. Lloyd's memo.
Right. And then this is our follow-up.
And attached to that is the enforcement plan.
Good.
Okay. So although what's the date on here?
April 22.
This is a later version. They changed it.
This one?
This is a little bit later than this.
Okay. Well, how many days?
We have a highway strikeout version. It's we asked for it, so it'd be better to send to that.
Yeah, well, we asked for the board. I want to take a look at this because this kind of fills in and is more descriptive of what their thought process is in terms of where enforcement should be.
Didn't ask us?
They actually did not ask us. Some of this came about from someone at LAPA, I think, doing some surveys, talking to some of the regions, finding out what was going on, and kind of generalizing what should be done for all the regions. I think they looked at the San Diego region specifically. It's kind of a model, a copy, the one size fits all kind of approach.
The one that fired the whole board?
Yeah.
Modeling now.
I thought they didn't think about it at all. It's just like we need to do what the airboard's doing.
Yeah. So anyway, I would have to take a look at this little kind of fill in.
Yeah.
Watching some of the okay, the new version. And that's it for what we talked about.